For the first time, we know people who are in false religions. And people think, well, isn't that neat? Isn't that a wonderful custom that they have? Or isn't that quaint? We have to be like God and love but not accept. I like what a friend of mine says, just because God loves you doesn't mean he's pleased. We have to love people. You know, I was at Sam's yesterday, and you know, it's like the United Nations there. If people are in darkness, we have to show them the light. And I'm not talking about total strangers, but we're all running into people every day now that we are the light that God has placed in their path. And we have to show them the love of God so that they'll believe the truth. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the body of Christ. The Bible says we are come to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. He's the head of the church of the firstborn. The Bible says, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to his image, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Our life is to reflect his life. Paul said he was separated unto the gospel. We have to be separated from the world unto the gospel of Jesus Christ. The world is in a mess, and it's going to get worse and worse. And the Bible says not only will it get worse and worse, but men will get worse and worse. They will be deceived and deceive. Deceivers are deceived and deceivers deceive. And the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse and worse. But the Bible says because Christ is in our heart that we have a living hope. You know, one of the things Jesus said on the cross is it's finished. And people want to talk about one thing that was finished, but there was many things finished on the cross, not just one. His mission as the sacrifice for man's sin was finished. He rose our high priest. His demonstration of obedience and love as a man, even unto death, was finished. He set an example. Satan's dominion over man was finished. Sin's dominion over man was finished. Death's dominion over man was finished. The enmity, the separation between God and man was finished. The law of sin and death was finished. We were redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was finished. The Bible says he was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. With justification, we have forgiveness of sins. We have redemption from the curse of the law. We have peace with God. We've been talking about righteousness and justification for several weeks. Righteousness is a result of justification. When we're justified, we're declared righteous. So we have peace with God. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We have sonship. We have an inheritance. We're saved from the wrath of God. We're reconciled to God. We have the right to boldly come to the throne of grace. We have the right to recognize God as our Father. We have a right to all the promises of God. We have a right to live above the natural realm. You know, Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, you're acting like mere men. And we're going to take communion here in a minute. You know, communion was a celebration. Well, Paul told the church at Corinth that he received instructions on communion from the Lord himself. You know, Paul received revelation, as we do, from the Word of God and from the Holy Spirit, but he had a face-to-face revelation, we don't know how many times, from Jesus. And he said that he received it from Jesus. And he talked about the fact that the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And of course, that was the Passover supper. But Paul received revelation that all of the feasts and festivals of the Old Covenant were simply types of Jesus. The Passover was, and the blood of the Lamb was a type of Jesus. It was fulfilled by Jesus. The great day of atonement was fulfilled by Jesus. The book of Revelations is full of Paul's explanation of all of these events that took place in the Old Covenant that were fulfilled by Jesus. He spends a lot of time talking about Jesus as now our high priest. You know, one thing that's kind of surprising, Jesus is the atonement for our sin. And, you know, in the Old Covenant, under the law of Moses, once a year, on the 10th day of the 7th month, they had the great day of atonement. And then every 50 years, immediately after that, would be the year of Jubilee, when all debts were forgiven and everybody got their property back. They reshuffled the deck of the Monopoly deck. But on this great day of atonement, the sins of Israel were paid for another year. Just a year. And so that every year they had to go through this ritual to cover the sins, because as the new Paul said, it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So let's turn over for a moment to Leviticus chapter 16. I want to look at this before we take communion. In Leviticus chapter 16, we find the instructions on the great day of atonement. And it's very interesting. In verse 5 it says, in Leviticus chapter 16, verse 5, he, speaking of Aaron the high priest, he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats, two goats, and they had to be identical. They had to be identical. These two goats had to be identical because these two goats were considered one sacrifice. And he shall take two goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. And Aaron shall take his bullock, and he shall take his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. So before Aaron could atone for the sins of the people, he had to atone for his own sins. So he had to kill an animal and then take the blood of that animal into the Holy of Holies, into the mercy seat, and sprinkle it seven times on the mercy seat. And then his sins were covered. Then he could do the same thing for the children of Israel. So it goes on. It says, verse 7, he shall take two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat, or for the... Does anybody have a Bible that says for the A-Z-A-Z-E-L, Azael? What translation do you have? The Amplified. Many, many, many translations do not translate that scapegoat. They don't translate it at all. They put the Hebrew word, A-Z-A-Z-E-L. And the reason they do that is they don't know how to translate it. Or they just put the Hebrew word in. We'll see why. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one for the Lord and one for the Azael. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. So he's going to take this goat and slay it, and then he's going to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, and it'll be to make atonement. So the sins of Israel are atoned for by the blood of the animal. Why do we need two goats? This is a type of Christ. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat, or the Azael's goat, shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement upon it. even though the sins were already atoned for, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself, for his house, and shall kill the bull as a sin offering, shall kill the goat, and so on. There's kind of rehearsing this. And then verse 21, it says, and Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. Now, I don't know how he confessed it in those days. I do know that today they have a script they read. Of course, they don't have a goat. You know, they use chickens. But they have a whole several pages of sins that they read. They kind of leave nothing to chance. Then it says, the goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat into the wilderness. A man shall take this goat some distance away and release it into the wilderness. Now, they had to do that every year. Now, you've probably often heard it said that the scapegoat was led out into the wilderness to be devoured by wild beasts. The Bible doesn't really say that it was led to the wilderness to be devoured by wild beasts, but that's obviously what's going to happen to a domesticated goat in the wilderness. And we know that was the intent because history tells us that one time a goat came back, and that was a no-no. And so from that time on, they no longer just took the goat out, they threw the goat off a cliff, and they were sure it died. So there was a goat sacrificed and his blood shed, and the other goat devoured by wild beasts. That was the goat for Azazel, which sometimes is translated scapegoat. More often than not, it's not translated at all. One translation translates it to the demon Azazel. Azazel happened to be one of the names like Beelzebub that they called Satan in those days. So it was a type of Christ going to hell. Now it's interesting in studying what people thought, why there were two goats. Several great scholars say, well, the reason the second goat wasn't killed was because it represented the resurrection. No, it was killed. It just wasn't killed by them. The idea was it would be killed, but not by them. And it wasn't resurrected. So that's not the idea. The idea is that his blood was shed and his blood was sprinkled in the mercy seat. But you see, when Jesus died, until he rose from the dead and until he presented his blood, there was no forgiveness of sins. It wasn't killing the goat that brought forgiveness of sins. It was putting the blood on the mercy seat and God accepting it. Well, who's going to take Jesus' blood into the Holy of Holies? Jesus is. He physically died on the cross, but he also died spiritually and went to hell, where, according to the type, he was to be devoured by wild beasts, only he devoured the wild beasts. Amen? They came for a feast and got eaten. Bible says Jesus triumphed over them in it and made a show of them openly. But you see, it wasn't the physical death. The reason they had to do that every year was physical death could never atone for sins, because the wages of sin is not physical death, it's spiritual death. Now, you got to die physically before you can die spiritually, if you're alive spiritually. So Jesus had to die physically, but that didn't atone for our sins by itself. He had to die spiritually because that's the wages of sin, like the scapegoat. But he rose from the dead and took his own blood. You remember when he first arose, Mary Magdalene went to touch him. He said, don't touch me yet. I've not ascended to my Father and your Father. He had to ascend into the Holy of Holies, because, you know, the earthly tabernacle was an exact copy of the heavenly tabernacle. And he had to ascend into the heavenly Holy of Holies, and as high priest now, sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice himself. So you can see why there had to be two goats to represent his death and his burial and his resurrection. And of course, he not only bore our sins, but he bore our sicknesses, because the two are intertwined. Where there was no sin on earth, there was no sickness. When he died for one, he died for both. In fact, he redeemed us from all evil on the cross.